Hello, everyone. Before I start the episode, I wanted to say thank you to everyone who has listened, downloaded, and shared this podcast. We're always trying to improve, and all the feedback you have given us has been great. I would also like to encourage you to subscribe to our daily newsletter to stay up to date on the newest podcast episodes, industry insights, and Mercator Advisor Group commentary. Again, thank you to everyone who comes and listens to our episodes, and now, on with the show. Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about intelligent friction. And to help me with that conversation, I have Sharif Sami, the SVP of North America for Intersect. Sharif, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Ryan. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. So to get things started here, let's first introduce Intersect to our audience. Give us a little bit of an overview of what Intersect is and what it does.
Sure. Well, first, thanks for having us. As a company, so Intersect's been in the market since 2010, and the core focus of our business and the technology that we provide to the market is around reducing the friction barrier and the friction deficit between the enterprises, like think of banks and large institutions that transact with consumers in a secure way, reducing that trust deficit between the bank and their consumers in their digital channels. So the way we do that is we look at the mobile device as being the entry point for the consumer. We believe that this is the most trusted device that's out there and the strongest entry point for the market. And we work on three core pillars. We work on identity, making sure that the consumer is who they say they are, that the device that they're using is a trusted device. Integrity, looking at the integrity of the actual digital channel itself, that hasn't been compromised, the integrity of the actual device itself, it hasn't been compromised as well, to make sure it's a strong device. And then the last thing is we open strong communication channels between the bank in this case and their consumer in the digital space, that they could transact in a secure way and really sky's the limit after you've done all of the above, right? How much innovation do you want to do on top of your digital channels? And that's what we spend a lot of our R&D and money on.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Now, intelligent friction. Now, what exactly does intelligent friction mean in the instance of Intersect? So how is Intersect using intelligent friction?
Sure. So as consumers are doing transactions and services in the digital space, and they are faced with having to answer questions. They're faced with having to consent to certain things. For example, transferring money or making a payment transaction. The ecosystem typically predominantly talks about a frictionless customer experience, and that's what we all thrive to achieve, is frictionless, which give the consumer as much as we can without asking them to do too much or anything, which is more convenience factor. What we look at is we look at intelligent friction, and what we mean by that is give the consumer enough trust in the system by involving them in the process, within reason, of course, to build a stronger trust relationship and get the consumers to do more. We also have regulations around privacy, for example, in Europe with PSD2 and GDPR and so on, which is also trickling down in the US here in the form of innovation. And from that perspective, there is a need for consumer privacy and consumer strong customer consent to consent for the access of their information. And you can never have frictionless customer consent. So that's an example of where we look at really healthy friction in this perspective.
Great. And I think you brought up some really great points there. And I kind of want to jump into authentication here. So now authentication is a bit of a balancing act. In the past, you know, consumers have wanted to really have this happen in the background here. But what really are kind of the dangers of having that happen just being in the background?
When you just do, this is what we call passive authentication. And the idea behind passive authentication is indeed authentication happens in the background, which means that the risk of the systems that are doing those authentications with the consumer become overly critical and overly more complicated. And that results in a lot of false declines. So a legitimate consumer comes to do something, but the system feels that there's some sort of risk in the process because it becomes risk-based. And they deny a legitimate consumer from doing something, or the other way around, a non-legitimate consumer comes in, a fraudster, and they allow them access. So that's what we call passive authentication. That's one of the major risks, basically, because it becomes more of a gray area versus having an established root of trust when you're communicating with consumers.
Right. Now, when it comes to fraud here, now, can getting consumers more involved in authentication and identity management reduce the risk of fraud? And do you think that consumers becoming more willing to play an active role in managing their digital security?
Absolutely. And let's sort of framing it into a business context. Let's talk about a consumer interacting with their digital bank, right? When you interact with your digital bank, you actually transfer and with significant amount more money than when you are at an actual retail store. I think the biggest transaction that's gone through our platform is a $90 million transaction from a mobile device. That's completely a different paradigm than you're going to a store and buying a $5,000 TV, for example, right? In both cases, you need to secure the channel for the consumer and you need to make sure that we build the right trust level. But if we frame it in the context of a banking ecosystem, right, giving the consumer the ability to consent to making certain transactions, to consent to say, yes, I am actually authorizing this transaction, with very intelligent consumer-friendly mechanisms, you're giving that consumer an upper hand in saying, okay, I am owning this this communication and I am agreeing to something. Now, when you do that, and we have statistics from our banks that we've launched around the world, one of the statistics was very interesting for us, right? When you've implemented this technology in the right way and you've built the right level of what we call healthy friction with consumers, it actually increased the amount of transactions that the consumers are doing with that specific bank by 29%. It's reduced fraud for them by 95%. And what's even more important is because you've decreased the trust deficit, consumers were willing to increase the value of their transactions by 15%. And that's immediate bottom line for the bank that provided us with these statistics.
Great. Now, if I'm a consumer here, really, what are the advantages to me for being active in fraud management?
So a few things. One is you consent based on also regulations that are coming out that you're giving consent to your consumer data, which is important. That's we're going to see more and more of that in the future through things like PSD2 and GDPR and the innovation here in the US. So that's number one. The second thing is that you as a consumer can also make sure that these are legitimate transactions that you are doing. And we have a lot of cases, as you know, over the last couple of years and before that, is consumer data has already gone to the dark web. I believe the statistics were showing that there's over 2 billion consumer data points and information that's on the dark web today. We have a very serious issue on our hands that fraudsters are beginning to do called synthetic identities. And that's taking part of your real information, taking and then adding onto that fake information and being able to create a synthetic identity on your behalf. And once the consumer, the fraudster has done that, they can actually do a lot of the things, if not all of the things. They can take over your account, they can transfer money on your behalf, they can pay on your behalf, and so on, right? Because they all of a sudden become you. But when you as a consumer, right, make a customer consent or say, yes, I am doing this transaction, or yes, I am authorizing this to happen, or yes, I am transferring $50,000 to this account, then it gives you the upper hand to make sure that one, the digital channel fraud that we're seeing can be combated through this mechanism, and two, that you gain more trust and willing to do more. Another thing, which is also very important, is when you build strong communication channels and you manage integrity and you manage a strong consumer identity, innovation opportunity starts coming up. And as a bank, as an example, you can do a lot more with your consumers on their digital channels and give them a lot more services, banking services, because you have the ability to have strong customer consent.
Great. Now, when it comes to friction, I'm sure that Intersect has a lot of data on this. So kind of really, like, how much friction is too much friction for customers?
Too much friction is when, for example, you require the consumer to consent to every single thing they're doing, or you add multiple different barriers for the consumer to access to log into their account, right? What we do as a company is we leverage the mobile device as a trusted communication channel between the consumer and their bank. And within the infrastructure that we have that we deploy behind the bank's firewall and on the mobile device, we're able to cryptographically bind the consumer's identity with this trusted device's identity and with the bank's backend system. So when the consumer uses this as the entry point, or uses the online channel as the entry point and uses the mobile device as a consent mechanism, then we can actually reduce the barriers of entry for there. So then things like biometrics become sufficient, right? Using your biometrics coupled with a strong device identity makes it an easier experience for the consumer. Or using the trusted device for a consumer to get a message saying, are you doing this actual transaction? Is this you or not? Becomes more easier. So we actually reduce the barriers of entry for the consumer by building that strong trusted mechanism with leveraging your mobile device, and then shooting that to secure other digital channels that are out there that may be less secure because we don't have that trusted token in your hand. And the way you have to think about it, if you allow me sort of just to add one more thing, the way you have to think about it is, the industry talks about multi-factor authentication. Biometrics on its own, or knowledge-based authentication, which is something that you know, or biometrics, which is something that you are, or the contextual ecosystem that's around you, are all things that can be digitized. When you couple it with the something that you have, which is a possession factor in your hand, which it becomes into a hard bound thing that's in your hand, for fraudsters to impersonate you, they need to fly from the end of the world to access that physical mobile device that's in your hand. And that reduces the urge for them to actually target you as a consumer and go to the weakest link, which is another consumer that doesn't have this capability. So that's why we're able to reduce those friction points and leverage biometrics, for example, and behavioral and things like that, coupled with a very strong mobile device and a trusted source.
Right. Now, before we wrap things up here, what, in your opinion, what is the future of personal and financial data protection? And also, what are we likely to see in 2018 and beyond that will better secure the channels between financial institutions and their consumers?
I think what the industry is working on is resolving things like synthetic identities by creating identity ecosystems. And what that means is, if you combine multiple different technologies together, which is leveraging data sources to know your consumer better. Think of the data sources that are at the credit bureaus, or data sources that are with the mobile network operators or with government entities, leveraging that to create a strong consumer identity and a strong risk score there. Combining that with things like behavioral biometrics, which allows the ecosystem to determine through different behaviors, is this a legitimate consumer or not? Leveraging that as another risk-based approach, and then combining that with strong device and technology, like I mentioned here, that Intersect does, and opening secure communication channels. When you combine all these things together, you have a strong identity on one side, you have a strong trusted source on the other side, which becomes a mobile device or an online channel, and then you have strong communication capabilities and secure communication capabilities. And the way we do it is we create out-of-band communication channels that are cryptographically bound between mobile device and the bank, right? Leveraging things like public key infrastructure and so on. And when you do that, then it becomes more a matter of, what innovation do I do on top of my digital channel versus only talking about the fraud conversation, right? So that's one angle. The other angle, obviously, is going to be around regulation and strong customer consent in accessing private consumer data. We're going to see a lot more of that. And another part is related to actual banks. We talk about open banking API and banks opening up their ecosystems and access to consumer data, that's going to require a lot more security and authentication mechanisms as well as B2B now, banking and third parties trying to get access to that the bank's infrastructure through open banking API.
Excellent. Well, Sharif, thank you very much for your time today for speaking to us about intelligent friction, and we hope to have you back on the podcast real soon.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you very much, Ryan.